We've been considering Paul's exhortations at the end of 1 Thessalonians, that's chapter 5, where he listed 8 practical appeals to believers as they walk in the Spirit and draw near to God. I refer to them as my responses to God because they are spiritual activities that faithful believers seek to fulfill. And of course, they can only fulfill them by God's grace, as the Holy Spirit enables them to do so. So rejoice always, not quenching the Spirit, and the like in this list of exhortations are responses that are constantly in play for the obedient believer. And they're important for those who love God, who want their lives to glorify their Redeemer. Following these 7 verses, Paul prayed for the Thessalonian believers in verse 23, asking God to sanctify them in every part until Jesus comes. And then in verse 24 of 1 Thessalonians 5, the apostle assured obedient believers of spiritual victory as he exclaimed, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." And so verses 23 and 24 of this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 refer to God's responses to me. And this is a part 4 of this series that I've been working on and going through these verses. What a comfort it is to know that in spite of all our weaknesses and all our waywardness, that our faithful Lord is going to fulfill His good will in and through us. Most, if not all of us, basically hate failure. Failure in a project that we're working on or in something we're studying and trying to learn. And we just don't like it. And that's as it should be. Even though we experience it all too often, we hate failure. But we know that Jesus never fails. And when He declares something that is His will, He will do it. And this is one of those verses. And we must remember that our victory is through Him alone. The last time I spoke, we considered a few of the many passages expressing something about God's faithfulness, that wonderful attribute that we should love and do love, I'm sure. He is always reliable. He's always true to His word. In fact, one of Jesus' titles in the book of Revelation is Faithful and True. This evening, I would like to consider another important word in that fairly brief verse of 24, and that's the matter of God's calling. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. So the God that we serve is faithful, and He will sanctify us and keep us and do all for us that He has pledged Himself to do. But He's the one who called us. And I'd like for us to hear some verses concerning that calling this evening. This faithful God is the one who graciously calls His people to salvation and to service. As I say, I'd like to give attention to a number of these statements in the Bible that describes His calling. There are a number of these verses, and they give us wonderful truths for which we certainly should thank God and certainly rejoice in His goodness to us. He called us. As sinners, we weren't calling to Him. We certainly weren't pursuing Him. We merely answered His call. So let's remember that as we go through, and you'll hear that in those verses. Born-again people should thank God on 2 counts in connection with His calling. They should thank God for His general call and for His effectual call. call. When Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen, he was distinguishing God's universal gospel invitation, which goes out into all the earth, and we're privileged to carry that same message to others that we know and to proclaim it everywhere. Even Jesus' enemies may hear this call. It's an invitation to repent of sin and receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on their behalf and that they might be saved. So there's that universal gospel invitation. But there's also an internal, personal acceptance of that invitation to be saved. And that's an effectual or effective call of God. Those who have repented of sin and put genuine faith in God's promise of salvation in Christ are referred to in many passages as the called. And clearly, they aren't simply the ones who were invited. Many were invited. They were the ones who were not only invited, but they were the ones who came. And so this is a way to refer to believers, born-again people, children of God. They're the called. And here are some of those passages. There are a number of them that deal with God's mercy and grace calling us to eternal life and blessing. Now, every one of these describes you if you are God's child. So I want you to take all this personally. Romans 1:6, Paul refers to his apostleship to the nations. He says, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? 1 Peter 2:9, a familiar passage to many. The apostle writes, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 2 Timothy, Paul writes in 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 1 Timothy 6, he exhorts his son in the faith, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. We're called to have eternal life. We're called to be in God's kingdom. To the Thessalonians, he writes, but we are bound to give thanks alway to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Back to Romans 1. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. In 2 Peter 1, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Right of Hebrews in chapter 9 writes, "And for this cause Jesus is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." In 1 Thessalonians 2, "that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory." God calls us, inviting us, but we responded. Not in and of ourselves, we responded because of his grace. He enables us to respond. Now, there's some specific things that are in our pathway of his calling as we walk to his kingdom and glory. And there are some more verses concentrating on a particular thing for which we're called. We're called to blessing. 1 Peter 3:9, "not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." We're called to holiness. 1 Peter 1:15, "but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." And 1 Thessalonians 4:7, "for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." We're called to peace. Colossians 3:15, "and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. And be ye thankful." And in 1 Corinthians 7, "but if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." We're called to unity. Ephesians 4:4, "there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling." We're called to liberty and to service for others. In Galatians 5, verse 13, "for, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." We may be called to suffering. 1 Peter 2:21, "for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." He's actually talking about unjust suffering there, if that should come. But we're also called to contentment. 1 Corinthians 7:20, "let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called." Now, he's dealing with being single or being married primarily, but that's also a universal principle. We're called to fellowship. 1 Corinthians 1:9, "God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." And in 1 Corinthians 1:24, "but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." And we're called to spiritual rest. You could quote it. Romans 8:28, "and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." God's called us, and he's faithful, and he'll do it. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for revealing to us and reminding us of your great love for us and the provision you've made for us, the eternal provision of forgiveness of sin and fellowship with you. We thank you for working on our behalf, for sending your Son, for his perfect work, and making of himself a sacrifice that makes it all possible. We thank you for the gospel and for bringing it to us by some means, literature or a sermon or just a word from someone. And we thank you for working within us through your living word as the Holy Spirit took that truth and made it active in our own thoughts and enabled us to respond properly. We give you all the glory for these things. We can't deserve it. We can't earn it. We can't pay for it. And we thank you for working on our behalf and for the calling. Help us to know better what that means, not only now, but also into the ages to come, that we can rejoice and we can be steadfast in our love and our service for you. Bless us this evening as we bring petitions to you and pray for ourselves and for others, that Christ may be glorified in it all. And for his sake we pray. Amen.